Hello, everyone. Welcome to another illustrious edition of The Gentleman of Elegant Leisure. And here we are. I'm Dave, along with Jason and Fred, my loathsome compatriots in the world of libation and other such.
I really have to question your adjectives.
I mean it only in the best sense of the word.
Put Dave down for a thesaurus.
It started out illustrious and went to loathsome pretty quick.
Yes. No.
But they know a thing about drinks. So that puts you up the scale.
There we go. Well, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. If you say
so. Slightly loathsome. I'm equally loathsome. If it makes you feel better.
It does,
that's
actually.
That's why you're in the club.
I know. Three loathsome guys making drinks.
Yeah.
And what are we making this episode, Jason?
Well, as you may recall, if you watch the show every Wednesday.
Yeah. On NBC, right?
On NBC.
Fred and I were in New York City.
Of course. I think we mentioned that you guys were going on one of the previous episodes.
Well, we did it.
You did it, yeah.
Yeah, we said we were going to do it, and we did it.
Yeah, and you're here to tell the tale.
We are here to tell
the tale. Oh, yes. Yeah, literally, we're here to tell the tale.
Very nicely done.
Oh, Dave's a pro.
He is a pro. Huh? We're doing the Lion's Tale.
Oh, I love that story. That's wonderful.
Androcles and the Lion's Tale?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Fred had the great idea of... And by great, it's in quotes, right? Fred had the great idea that after we came back from New York, for you who was not in New York.
No, I was not.
We would make drinks that we had in New York. Yeah. But unfortunately, all the drinks that we had in New York were just on the menu. We know what goes in them, but we don't know the proportions.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to reconstitute those drinks.
Exactly. Mm. And in a perfect world.
Are the guys in the lab working on it right now?
That's right.
Excellent. Top men.
Top men, yeah.
Once they're done with the arc.
Yeah.
They're coming for this. And it seems like the three of us would enjoy working on a drink to figure out what the proportions are. But there just, frankly, is not the time in our lives at the moment to do this, right?
Yeah. We could probably ask people.
We could probably ask people, but we haven't even done that.
No, who's got time for that? And we will. We get around to it. We did record some stuff, and we're going to try and incorporate that into some future episodes, I think, when we get the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan, anyway.
There we go. And then, but it was interesting because Fred had tried a drink out of the Ted Haig's, what do we call this book?
Forgotten Cocktails and, Vintage Spirits and Forgotten Cocktails.
Yes, a wonderful book there. And Fred was complaining about it. He did the Lion's Tale. And he said, you know what? We went there because we wanted to get weirdo ingredients that we can't get here in our little corner of Canada. Mm-hmm. And Fred wanted to get St. Elizabeth's All Spice Dram.
And I did.
And now that he had it, he was able to make... this drink.
Yes.
The first one he came across it for All Spice Dram.
Finally.
He eagerly mixed it up.
Oh, I couldn't wait.
And?
It was good. It was 90% of a cocktail.
That's right. So I said, well, Fred's an idiot. But I said it to myself.
Oh, yeah. And other people. Not me, thank goodness.
That's right. He
has
no
idea. Because I'm sensitive.
And so I went home and I made it. And actually, to be perfectly honest, I didn't have bourbon, so I didn't make it. I made it with rye.
But you have to change the name of it now.
Yeah, true enough. But I was still hoping that it would mellow out a corner of it. And again, it felt like, don't know.
There's something, like it needed one more ingredient. Like there's one little piece missing. I mean, it's a good drink. It's just like, you drink it, you taste it, and it's like, oh, that's pretty good. Well... You're waiting for that. I guess you're waiting for that little taste at the back, that little that finish.
That's what it is. It has no finish.
Yeah,
it's like Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
That's right. Or my front porch.
That's right. Or have you got one, Dave?
I've got nothing. You're giving me nothing. I can't work with you.
It's like Dave's contribution to this little thing we just did.
Yeah,
he had no finish for it.
No.
So anyway, but we're going to make it, so you see what you think of it.
Okay.
But one of the great bars that we did go to, and we went to a number of great bars.
Oh, yeah. In New York.
We went to the Dead Rabbit Grocery and Grog.
Yeah.
And they have a wonderful drink book out, and it's almost impossible to make any of the drinks in it.
Yeah.
Because it's just too obscure and too difficult to find these? You can only find them in New York?
It's a little bit like the raindrop in Portland. Is it the raindrop?
The teardrop lounge.
Teardrop lounge.
Yes.
Where they make all their own bitters and liqueurs, and so you have no hope of really ever making any of their cocktails.
Yeah, so there's just one ingredient. This one here calls for a calamus tincture. And then here's the recipe for calamus tincture. Oh, you need to get an ounce of powdered calamus root, 4.5 ounces of Everclear, which I don't think we can get legally in BC.
I know people.
So that's one example. I'm just going to go here. Here's one that calls for rosemary tincture, lemon sherbet, everything else we could get a hold of after that. This one calls for tansy tincture and lemon sherbet. This one calls for 2 ounces of Del Maguey Vida Mezcal, grenadine, watermelon juice, Bitterman's Hellfire Habanero Shrub. So it's very difficult. Anyway, as I was going through the book, I found that they also had a lion's tail. And theirs is a little bit different than the classic lion's tail. And I thought, now you get an idea, Dave, about what this particular grog and grocery can do for you and your liver.
Yeah. And maybe it's got the missing link.
That's right. So without further ado...
The lion's tail.
The lion's tail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one calls for 2 ounces of bourbon, 3/4 ounce of allspice dram, or less to taste, it says. But we're going to go with what they say. 1/2 ounce of fresh lime juice, 1/2 tablespoon of simple syrup, or less to taste. Hmm. But we're going to go with the 1/2 tablespoon.
Yep.
And then a couple of dashes of Angostura bitters.
Oh, the good old Angostura bitters. Yes. Right. The versatile, the ubiquitous bitters.
The recipe, of course, will be on our website, gentlemenofelegantleisure.com, so that you can make it at home and see what you think about it when Dave gives his...
Final verdict.
Final verdict.
Yeah. That's right. Maybe it's a perfectly fine cocktail, and we just have no clue.
Perhaps.
Wouldn't be the first time. Oh, our favorite sound.
There you go. I'm relaxing already.
The tension just releases. You're making that one icy.
I am making this one icy.
Being very deliberate in this whole operation.
But I would recommend if anybody in our studio audience... Oh, there's nobody here. Anybody in our radio... That's not really radio. Anybody in our who's listening to this ever has the opportunity to go to New York, you should. And just drink. Do nothing but drink.
But bring plenty of money.
Some of the places are pretty reasonable. What we found in general is the hotel bars tended to be a little more pricey.
Yeah. Yes. Like anything. Like their food.
We went to the wonderful Baccarat Bar.
Oh, no. Wonderful. Yeah,
yes,
we did.
Yes, the Baccarat Bar at the Baccarat Hotel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And the drinks were $24.
Yeah, you've got that inventory, that overhead.
But they were wonderful.
They were wonderful drinks.
I can't complain about that. And the bar snacks were exquisite. So. The best peanut I've ever had, I have to say.
Well, it's probably, $8 a piece. So,
I believe they were.
You're tasting the value already.
They were unique peanuts.
Yeah. And the corn nuts.
Corn nuts. You don't see those very often.
No, no, and they were very nice. They weren't the hard.
The hard.
These are elegant corn nut.
Yes. But, well, I think the more you pay, the more elegant it becomes.
I think that is
really just improves everything.
But the bars that we found and the ones that we discovered we never did get a chance to get to when we were there. I mean, it's just the list goes on and on. Yeah. And so I would go back just for the bars next time. Museums,
they're a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Who cares about culture?
I can see Picasso on the internet.
Exactly. You can't taste no lion's tail.
That's right. There's no lion's tail in the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
But lots of lions.
Lots of lions. Yeah,
lots of great works of art.
No, people love lions over throughout history. It's a... there we go.
Doesn't the New York Public Library have a couple of big lions?
Yeah, they got
there?
A couple of big lions. They're big on lions as well.
Juice in there.
Oh, that's iced up nicely.
Yes.
So that's frosted over.
Let's share this out here a little bit.
Thank you, sir.
You are welcome.
Oh, that's
pretty good on the nose.
Good nose, yeah. No, it's not a bad cocktail. And if I besmirch the Lion's Tail in any way, I mean, any cocktail is a good cocktail.
That's right.
Well,
some cocktails are better than others, though.
Yeah, of course.
If that was true, then you would have drank that turnip cocktail that you had in London.
Okay. Well, you know, there's an exception to every rule. I sure tried. But that woman, she polished that sucker off. I couldn't believe it.
So the Lion's Tail goes back to 1937, I believe. So this is an oldie.
Mm-hmm. It's right in the heart of the Depression.
This is what people drank to cheer themselves up.
That's right. From the Café Royale cocktail book, apparently, originally.
Oh.
It says here, since twisting the lion's tail was American slang for a character distinctly British, we might assume the author of the Lion's Tail was a Prohibition refugee from the States. But we don't know that. Mm. So, yes, on the nose, it smells like it's going to be complex.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit Christmassy.
Yeah. Mm.
Cheers.
And you. Cheers for you. Well, there you go.
All right, here it goes. Ooh, boy, that's a...
Now, this is better than the spice. Rye.
Yeah. No, and it's nice, and it starts off real nice and strong. I wish there was a different finish at the back.
Hmm.
Now, whether Peychaud's would change it up a bit as opposed to the Angostura.
Right. Oh, you know what? I like that just fine as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're out of the group.
The whole...
We're having auditions starting next week for the third member of the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
Sorry, this is the one from Forgotten Cocktails?
That's right.
This is the original.
This is the original.
Okay.
And then the Dead Rabbit guys thought they had to fix it. But this is pretty good.
It is.
Now, one difference I've done is because I used my own simple syrup here, which is not my own.
No.
My own in that I made it, as opposed to buying it. But the recipe I followed was from the Smuggler's Cove cocktail book. Mm. And they make theirs with a Demerara sugar.
Oh. See, that might make a difference.
Yeah.
Because I just used, you know, table salt.
Yes, we're going to have to come and overhaul your system completely.
Oh, I see.
Hmm.
No, it does have a... I mean, I still think that it could use a little extra kick, but it is different.
Yeah. No, I...
It has got a bit of a ciderish kind of...
Mm-hmm. It almost does, doesn't
it? Like something you'd serve at Christmas. A hot punch, cider punch or something, like a...
Which reminds me of my other project.
Right, where we come over and help you insulate your house.
Reminds me of two other projects. Uh-huh. I'm trying to make a cocktail with glog.
Oh, yes. How's that going?
It's not bad.
Is it what the Klingons drink? Glog?
That's right, it is.
I think it might be.
There is no honor!
Yeah, trying to do that, but you have to. It's potent.
Mm. What would you say the flavor of glog is? This from IKEA glog?
Yeah, so it's a mold.
Oh right, it's
juice.
A mold. Right.
It's from IKEA. Mm-hmm. The stuff I got, because why not?
Exactly.
It comes from Sweden.
Yes. No, I'm not besmirching it.
No.
But I'm just saying, if you were at home and you wanted to get some, you got to go to your IKEA and eat your glog.
Get your glog.
What's supposed to be in it though? Is it like a mixture of fruits and?
Yeah, fruits and it's a little bit like the allspice dram, which is when I was thinking when I was in IKEA getting a 50-cent hot dog, and I saw the bottle. I said, you know, that's going to have a very similar profile. It's different because it's a little more in your face, Christmassy. But so I'm trying to do something with that. I've tried one so far. It wasn't too bad.
Right. What have you mixed it with? Bourbon?
Demerara rum. And Pernod. And I can't remember the other ingredient. I wrote it down. Mm. I sent it to you.
You did
text.
Send it to me. I bet I got it in my pocket right now.
Waka waka. I'll tell you. But yeah,
I don't know if I would go with the Demerara rum on it, because I think they would be too...
Well, I needed something to wrestle it to the ground. This was my thought. The other way is to get something if you don't have something that changes it, then it still ends up being all glog all the time.
Right.
But
I
yes.
wonder if there's already a Scandinavian recipe that involves aquavit or herring.
Where's the? Probably does. Here it is. Sorry. Yeah, I got it a little bit. So it's a half ounce of glog, a half ounce of Grand Marnier, 3/4 ounce of Cruzan Black Strap, and then a 1/4 teaspoon of Pernod to... It added it, because I tried it without it, and I did it to add a little few top notes on it, and then 4 dashes of orange bitters. I think probably could use 5 dashes of orange bitters.
Mm, all right.
But it's a sort of a flavor battle. But anyway, it's a work in progress.
Is that what you're going to call it?
I might call it the flavor
battle. Flavor
battle.
And then when people say, well, I don't know what the hell this is, you say exactly. Right?
Exactly, huh? Yeah.
Can I get you another?
So we'll see how that goes. But I did... The allspice dram is sort of reminiscent of that because it's got the sort of the nutmeggy thing going on.
Yes. Which I think is why it always gives you such a Christmassy sort of a quality there.
But I wonder if that'd be good, if it'd be better on the rocks.
Oh, you could maybe on the rocks it, but I like Dave's idea of going hot toddy. I had a hot toddy when I was in New York.
You did too.
You didn't tell me about that.
Well, I think you got to save some for the show.
There were about 30 cocktails, so... Yeah.
There was. I had a hot toddy on the decks of the Grand Banks Oyster Bar and Bar.
Oh, okay.
Boat.
On boat.
Mm. And it was, you know, it wasn't a great drink. Mm. It was a fine drink. It was exactly what you would expect from warm booze, lemon, and sugar syrup, which I think is all you got in a hot toddy.
Yeah.
But there was something about sitting out there with a bracing wind in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking at the...
Yeah,
that woman with the thing.
Sure, the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Now her.
The mighty Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
Named after Ernie Hudson from the Ghostbusters.
Wow.
Well, nice.
He's very highly regarded in New York City.
Yeah.
Now, I feel that I had a hot toddy somewhere else, but I can't remember.
I think you had one at the Rum House.
Oh, I did. Jeez, I forgot we went to the Rum House. The Rum House is at the Edison Hotel. we gotta write it all down.
Yeah, we're gonna. I'm trying to reconstruct it now.
It's the alcohol that makes them forget.
Exactly. And Sheila wanted to go to, like, all the bars in one afternoon.
Wow.
Which she thought that would be good, just to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
And then it would have been
as well as your livers.
Yes. Well, the idea was that you quickly go to the mall.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all have a drink, and then we'd share drinks, and we all get to, and then once we would then go back to the room. And decide which ones we wanted to go back to and lounge.
Right.
But it became
so
quickly...
It's basically speed drinking.
Speed drinking, yeah. But once we realized that would involve speed drinking...
Yeah.
The problem is, if you're drinking it all in one place, I think it's feasible. Mm-hmm. However, the idea of going from place to place in a city you don't know, as you're getting progressively drunker, the logistics became pretty daunting. So what started out as what seemed like a good idea to me quickly became obvious that it was a bad idea. So we had to spread it out.
I think we had to drink
every day.
No, there's worse things in the world, isn't there?
And it's funny because, of course, many of the cocktails, and I'm not faulting this, I expect to pay at least $15 for a good cocktail. I'm not going to squawk if my cocktail is $15. And I'll only slightly squawk if it's $24. But only because, really?
Yeah.
But after, you could maybe be really thirsty still. But when you've already parted with $45 and you haven't had dinner yet, you're thinking, well, you want to have a couple more? And you go, you know, that seems wrong. Anyway, is that flavor locked into everybody's head?
Yeah,
it is. I think so.
Yep, well, let's leave a little bit to compare.
So let's see what the Dead Rabbit folks do.
Yeah, so the Dead Rabbit, of course, they're going to town on this. And this sounds really interesting. So we've got 2 ounces of bourbon.
All right.
3/4 ounce of creme de cacao blanc.
Right.
1/4 ounce of creme de poire. So we got some sort of a pear brandy.
We got a pear brandy, and that's...
Creme de poire implies that it might be a little sweeter, and this is a pear brandy, which is not sweet really at all. But it's got the flavor. 1/4 ounce of pimento dram, which is our allspice. 1 ounce of fresh lemon juice, 3/4 ounce of orange juice, 3 dashes of, either the Dead Rabbit, Orinoco bitters, or Angostura, which is the one we have.
Which is the one we have.
And then fresh nutmeg, which is great. I always like fresh nutmeg on a drink. Really does kick it up.
I think so. I don't know why. Well, you know, I do know why, because you get it right on the nose, right?
Yeah.
That's what's sort of cool about that. Dave and I had nutmeg on some of our first drinks here before you were able to join us. Mm-hmm. You were still in the Navy.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a hell to get out. Mm. Finally jumped ship in San Francisco.
The best place to do it.
Oh, sure.
These are Okanagan Spirits Poire Williams Pear Brandy, made entirely from BC fruit.
Oh, nice.
Says it takes 28 pears to make this little bottle
of
this
stuff.
Seems
like a little bit of a waste, but as long as they're picking them off the ground, I guess it's okay.
I guess so.
Now, there's some pear liqueurs in the stores.
Yes.
At least the store I was in. But when the third ingredient is artificial flavors, I think you really want to steer away from that. It's just...
Exactly. No offense. Keep it healthy.
No offense to the Hungarians, but...
Yeah.
Or Calgarians, for that matter.
That's right. But yeah, that was what was that stuff called? Golden pear?
Yeah. But there was no pear in it.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, would you go? Then why did you bring it from Hungary?
Yeah, we can make that in any factory anywhere.
Do they have pears in Hungary?
I don't think so. If they did, they'd make liqueurs out of it.
I guess they would.
But yeah, it always comes down to the best ingredients. So I think if you've got a choice between something that's really extremely pear flavored with no pear in it, or something that's made with real pears but is more of a brandy, go with the real pears every
time. Go with
time.
The real pears, yeah. Just like Jason has sacrificed another lemon for us.
Oh, another lemon bites the dust.
Another lemon. Giving up the ghost to all for our...
You're squeezing like a demon
liquor
here.
Pleasure. Yeah, no.
No, we're on a time limit.
We are we? We got to be done by 9?
Oh, those people are listening and they don't want to hear
me. The cooking show comes in. They want our studio.
And, of course, it is. It's quite funny how many fruit juices are in this lion's tail here.
Yeah, no, this is bordering on tiki drink land.
Yeah.
You know,
what does the little blurb above it say? Does it, that they had to, where they did it change it because they...
Well, it says, actually, you can think of this as a tropical bourbon drink with its fruit juices and pimento dram. Now, pimento, a fruit native of the greater Antilles?
I think it's the Antilles.
Yeah.
Hmm. Also known as the Greater Antilles.
So, yeah, pimento dram is really from a liqueur from the allspice spice. So, it's not made with pimentos at all. But the allspice, of course, gives you that. That's what gives you that Christmas flavor. Mm. Now, what they've said is to cause the fruit. See, I'm a professional. I should know. Anyway, to cause the fruit and spice to play nice together, we're including pear liqueur to lasso the nutty bourbon flavor. We've added creme de cacao, which I don't think I've had in a cocktail, at least recently. So that's going to be an interesting... They've really upped the ante on this one.
They have. Now, I thought we did do creme de cacao, or cacao, however it's pronounced, in something recently.
Maraschino.
We also did the 20th century that involved the lemon juice with the cacao. Mm.
Yeah, don't poo-poo the apparently contradictory flavorings you get in some cocktails. Somebody's thought this through pretty good. I've never been disappointed except with that, you know, parsnip.
Yeah.
But no, you'll see ingredients that you don't think go together. And I go back to the Buffalo Negra every time on that one.
Well, that's your go-to.
That's my go-to.
Yeah.
It's your Samuel Clemens of
booze. I'm trying to convince every restaurant in town to switch
Buffalo
to
Negra.
Buffalo Negra. Mm.
There we go, Davey.
This one,
thank you.
I can smell it from here, and it smells different.
And good to smell. Cheers again. This will be
the
dead rabbits. Oh, hang on, sorry.
Oh, the nutmeg.
Nutmeg.
Oh, yeah, I got to get the nutmeg.
Freshly grated nutmeg.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
All right. Hey, now I smell nutmeg.
Yes. Mm.
Hmm. All right, here we go.
So quite different on the nose, I think, already. Well, mm-hmm. Nutmeg is going to beat you up on that.
Definitely tastes a little, we can taste the citrusy is a whole lot more in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as spicy.
It's the whole package. I mean, it's all there.
It's still good. Yeah. I still like it.
I think their description of it as a bourbon-based tiki drink is pretty accurate.
Yeah, I would say.
I almost missed the Christmassy element of the first one, though.
Yeah. No, that's right. That part's gone. Yeah. So the because they put in so little pimento dram, the nutmeg sort of tries to valiantly to make up for it, but that's just one note out of the many that you get with allspice.
Right. And it's
you smell the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's completely different. You're right. And I read somewhere, where the hell did I read it? I probably should have written it down, and then it could have been part of this podcast.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Awesome. But it was the difference being the lemon juice in the dead rabbit version, mm-hmm. as opposed to the lime juice,
mm-hmm. right.
in the original version. Mm. And they said, if I remember correctly, that lime juice... Oh, no, I can't remember. One of them played better, they thought, with mm-hmm. whiskey than the other one did.
Right.
And you wouldn't think there'd be a huge difference, but obviously there
I think
is.
I think the lime works better. I think if they, you know, and far be it for me to talk to the most decorated bar in the world, the so-called best bar in the world.
We've been to two of the best bars in the world.
Yeah, I know. We're so lucky.
We are so lucky. You got to come next time.
Okay. Yeah. I'll save my pennies.
Yeah. But, you know, cocktails, it's all to your individual taste. So, you know, one person may love a drink, one person may hate it. So between these two, I'm sure you'll find something that you like.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't know. Not sure which to choose.
But it does give you a good idea there, just what the sort of stuff they had at the Dead Rabbit. I had two drinks at the Dead Rabbit, and I can't remember the names of them because they published them in a comic book.
And yes.
You're sort of distracted by the whole thing. And they had really cool names, mm-hmm. but I don't remember. Do you remember?
If I had it in front of me, I would. But I don't know if I took pictures of their... I might have. If you can distract the audience while I'm looking.
Yes. So, yeah, no, we went there. We got there just after they opened. Now, the downstairs bar at the Dead Rabbit is open from, mm-hmm. I don't know, sometime in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Noon? They're not open for lunch, are they? Were they downstairs?
I don't think so. Well, actually, the bar might be. The bar opened earlier.
Yeah. But I forget what time. But where we went, it opened at 5, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we had to get a little buzzer thing because they are so popular.
Right.
They were jammed downstairs, just like an Irish pub. I mean, it was elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder.
I got nothing.
Okay. At 5 in the afternoon. But it's right down near Wall Street and everything. It's right down to the south.
It was Friday at 5 o'clock, and it just exploded. Wow.
And but so we got into the second floor mm-hmm. parlor, which is what you have to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where
you want to be.
And lovely waitresses mm-hmm. and lots of Irish people.
No, it's not surprising.
I hear that the Irish people like that place.
Apparently. So yes. If you're looking to meet Irish people in New York.
This is mm-hmm. the place to be. Yeah. The Dead Rabbit.
Yeah. But you find them all over the place, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, they got around.
Yeah, no, they're still showing up, apparently. A lot of them are...
Oh, yeah.
What I've heard is a lot of them are undocumented workers.
Yeah. And they're
which is
prolific...
Weird.
Procreators.
They like rabbits.
Are they really?
They do.
I did not know that.
Well, yeah. They have big families.
Yeah, but no, the drinks were great, and I wish we could have stayed longer. We would have stayed longer, but I think we had to eat.
We had
the scotch eggs there.
I forgot we had scotch eggs there. Holy cow. It was exhausting.
Yeah, I know. It's...
It was my first time to New York, mm-hmm. and Fred's, fifth or sixth. But he confided in me halfway through the trip, because mm-hmm. He's been with Laura and Sheila before. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is the most we've ever done on one of these trips.
Wow. It's certainly the most we've ever drank on one of those trips.
Mm. We went to many a good bar.
Yeah. We went to the Algonquin twice.
We did.
Because it's so comfortable there.
It was very comfortable.
Yeah. Big chairs.
Big chairs, little cat.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think? Is there a winner?
Well, you know, I was so surprised by how much I enjoyed the first one compared to when I tried to make it with rye, just to get an idea. I think I preferred the original 1937 Lion's Tale to the citrusy Lion's Tale.
No, I think you're right. I do, too. Now, you know, between yours was made with rye, but mine was made with just ordinary simple syrup. And I think having the Demerara simple syrup
right.
makes a big difference.
Oh, that could be. Okay, so it's not even really a fair comparison, but it's a comparison nonetheless.
Yeah, but it was a little more full. I mean, if I was making it myself, I'd probably change out the bitters and try something else the next time I make it. But I'd still go with the original over the both great.
Both great. No,
but the lion's tail from the dead rabbit is so different.
Exactly.
It's almost a different drink.
It is. It's got the same base. It's got what do they share? They share the same amount of bourbon and pimento dram. It's all in bitters.
In bitters. But the proportions are different. You know, I think the other one has more pimento.
3/4 ounce.
Yeah. Huge difference.
Yeah.
And when you add in the switching the lime out for the lemon or the lime out for the lemon changes the profile.
Yeah.
Dramatically so.
And then I'm wondering again with the creme de poire by using the brandy, which is a little drier, had we used the chemical pear liqueur, would that have doubled as the sugar syrup and given it a little sweeter?
Maybe, yeah.
And if it was, though, it's still not going to be as Christmassy as the original mm-hmm. lion's tail. Dave, your thoughts? You're the
gentlemen. We have a unanimous decision.
Oh yeah, there we go.
The tradition.
1937 beats 2015.
Yeah, no, it's just again the Christmassy element. I just brought it all back home for me.
Now, it's funny, I'd have to go back and listen to these, but I think every time we come up with a Christmas movie one, we really like that. So obviously there's some other thing
we
going
just,
on in our
We've psyche. Got issues with Christmas. I think that's what it is when you get right down to it.
But yeah, if somebody said that this dead rabbit one was not a lion's tail, not related to the lion's tail, if they called it the tiger tail, if they called it anything else, they called it the lion's mane. I would say this is a really good drink.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
It
no, definitely.
It's a very good drink. But if you're basing it on the original one, I still prefer the original one in today's taste testing.
Yeah. There you go. Nice. But take the recipes, make your own hybrid. Maybe you'll make something even better.
That's right.
But not with rye.
No, don't.
But don't use rye.
Jason's learned his
lesson. I thought I had bourbon. I mean, I'm better than this, people. I thought I had bourbon, and I didn't. And I went, well, I'm just going to try this, you know, me.
Well, you got to have a drink.
I had to have a drink. It was like 2 in the afternoon.
You should have had one 4 hours before that, so it was really late in the day.
Well, I'd gone out for lunch with Fred and
put
my schedule.
Yeah, of course. Wow.
Excellent. Well, the recipes, as we say, are there mm-hmm. on the website. Make them both, compare, mm-hmm. leave your comments,
yep.
bother your friends, call them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And make your own version, because that's, you know, you got to customize these things for your own palate.
Mm-hmm. Even if it means that it's just beer. Ah! Okay, don't you dare do it to beer.
Yeah.
You really like to talk down to the beer drinkers, don't you? No wonder you're so loathsome.
That's what does it.
Yeah. Well, there we go, gentlemen.
Have you got a quote for us?
I have no quote.
What?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I'm quoteless.
You're quoteless? Well, you know.
Less is more. How about that? How about I take it into a sort of a philosophical direction?
I think that's great. I think if you want to do that.
Are you looking up a quote?
Well,
are you trying to outquote me?
We're trying to outquote.
I'm just looking in Vintage Spirits and Forgotten Cocktails, because quite often he's got nice quotes.
Yeah,
he's
got little quotes in there. Yeah, no, I just.
You're surprised by
the surprised
how soon we decided to, mm-hmm. to do this after our trip.
Yeah. Also, it could be that I've just simply run out of quotations.
You can't run out of quotations.
Well, I gotta find.
This is what we do. Oh my God, we must have one.
But while you're looking that up,
to be or not to be.
Yes, here's my Shakespeare.
Well, you could, Dorothy Parker, actually, since we were in New York and in the Algonquin Hotel a couple of times,
that's perfect.
We could always use a Dorothy Parker. Now there's one. I'm trying to remember the.
I like a martini with dinner, 2 with the at the very most, 3 I'm under the table, 4 I'm under the host.
There you,
Parker, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
I feel better.
Oh, good. So now next time you owe us 2 quotes.
Okay, 2 quotes. I want them signed. I want a purchase order.
We've advertised you as the Thinking Beetle, and so you have to follow. Yeah.
Who was the Thinking Beetle? Do we know?
Pete Best.
That's why he was fired. He's just smart for the other ones.
That's right. One thing I'll remember about our trip, one thing we tried to do wherever we were, no matter how good the drink, and it's a motto that all gentlemen of elegant leisure follow, wherever you go, you know, think about the wait staff. So wherever you are, don't forget,
tip big.